Welcome back to the Action Sit Rep. We've got a classic sit rep for you today. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Deb.
And I'm Kim.
Hey, Kim. Yay.
And we are talking about a classic and a updated sort of sequel. I guess not sort of sequel. It is a sequel.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049, nominated by Kim. I got it right this time.
Okay.
So, Kim, why these ones?
I'd seen Blade Runner a long time ago and wanted to revisit it. I'd never actually seen 2049, so I was coming into that one new, but I was curious as to what they would have done with the sequel. Still not sure. I watched it last night. I'm not sure how I feel about two, but I really enjoyed one.
Yeah, I'd never seen either of them, which I feel wow. Blade Runner, yeah, is like you're supposed to have seen it. So I was excited to see them. I thought the original was far better.
Can I ask you, did you watch the original or did you watch the final cut?
Whatever the fuck was on Amazon Prime. I don't know.
Well, both are, I think, but okay. Because they're two different movies.
Really?
Yeah. What was released in 1982 in the theaters was not, there was a lot of studio involvement in the final cut of it. So later there was a director's cut that was put out. And that wasn't quite what Ridley Scott wanted. And so then in 2007, the final cut, which he and most people, most big Blade Runner fans, consider the actual director's cut, was released. And it's the same story. It's mostly the same stuff, but there are very key differences in it. So I'm just curious which one you watched, because if you're not familiar with the Blade Runner saga, you might not even know that it's so different.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea which one I watched.
Was Deckard narrating over what was going on? Okay, you saw the original then.
Oh, interesting. Okay, now I have to go watch the look up for the final cut and see what was different. I did think as I was watching the opening, I was like, this might be the most 80s of all 80s opening scenes to ever 80s. Like the flying cars, the synth music, you got the screen flare, the like smoking guy, the like just like the whole thing with the old computers, like the flame and the eyeballs, like the pyramid buildings. It was like the most 80s opening scene ever to 80s. Amazing. Yeah. Genius.
I love the fact that everyone who makes a futuristic movie in the, you know, in the 2000s has us having flying cars.
And it was supposed to be 2019, which was 3 years ago. So.
What I think is amazing too is that like human imagination, the like jump we can make, but also the leaps we don't. Like the flying cars were amazing. And then like the shitty screen on the flying car.
Right.
Like we couldn't imagine that the TVs would be any better.
Right.
But we can make cars fly.
And those are the little things that actually got tweaked. In the final cut. Yeah. That like the photographic images and things like that were much higher definition in the 2017 final cut or 27 final cut than they were in the original. So he did take the opportunity to kind of up the technology in terms of what's available now versus what was available in 1982. So little things like that were tweaked quite well in the final cut.
Amazing.
it always floors me though with sci-fi movies, how they portray the future and it is always dark, dingy, rainy, the sun never comes out, or it's dirty. They've lost all sense of interior design. It's just, it kind of, like the whole movie was just so overfeeling, was always just so dark in it. And, but it's common with a lot of, I find, some of the futuristic science fiction movies, especially ones that were sort of made a little bit before present time.
Well, they pretty much nail the environmental disaster of everything.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a lot of things right across the whole genre. They got a lot of things right in terms of where we're
headed. Oh, yeah.
The trash.
Yeah.
Just a little bit there.
So I thought, like, I don't know. I just thought, like, the different ways that they looked at the two, I don't know, the story of the first one was much more compelling because you have this, like, the bad guys were bad, but you really felt for them. I don't think you don't feel for the bad guy in the second one. Like, he's just bad. He's creepy as shit with his, like, dead eyes, you know? And I don't know. Like, I just felt like it was a much more, I just felt like the story was better in the first one. What did you guys think?
I liked the story better in the first one. I felt it was more real, I guess, or like more, a little more raw. Like, I bought into the characters more than what I bought into the ones in 2049. You know, like, you could sort of feel what Harrison Ford was feeling. And as he sort of, I think he changed, like, going from, you know, doing his job to getting that sort of wake up call. But I didn't sort of feel that same shift in 2049.
Well, I think the key difference being we knew in 2049 that we know that K is a replica.
Yeah.
Whereas in the original, that's a lot of the tension in the original is trying to figure out whether Decker is a replicant or not.
Right.
Because intentionally, there's a lot of clues that he may be. It's never answered in the movie. It was answered by Ridley Scott and Harrison Ford later. But, you know, that's a big part of the tension that you don't know.
Right.
Whereas in 2049, we know. It's very clear who the replicants are and who are the, quote, humans. So I think that takes a lot of that tension away.
Yeah, I think 2049 was a bit even slower moving. It was sort of like the non-action action movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
There really wasn't, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a criticism of all of the Blade Runners is how boring they can be. That it's, you know, it at the time, you know, if the original got, it was a love it or hate it movie, and a lot of people hated it because it was absolutely nothing they were expecting when they walked into the theater. You know, a Ridley Scott film about the future, dystopian future. They were expecting aliens, and we got this plodding story that just kind of moves along, although it had, I would dare say, more action than 2049.
Yeah, it moved along a little better too. I just felt 2049, I was sort of watching it and I'm like halfway through going, I'm only halfway through.
I had a similar, like, I paused it at one point and I went, oh, like, the bar is not nearly as far as I thought that was going to be.
What did this thing? Like, oh my God, there's 45 more minutes. Even though, you know, going in, it's almost a 3-hour movie. It's like, oh, good Lord, another 45 minutes.
I was like, this is, why isn't Harrison Ford here yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was long.
It felt like a 5-hour movie. It wasn't.
And I didn't, the whole, like, thing with the girl being the daughter and whatever, I was like, why? I don't get it. Like, to me, that it was not, like, that exciting a reveal. It didn't feel like she was kind of, like, interesting, but, like, it wasn't like a, oh, it was her all along. Yeah. No, like, we have this, like,
I think because that wasn't the focus of the reveal. The actual reveal is it wasn't him.
It wasn't him, but it just was like, meh, okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted it to be him. So yeah. I was kind of like, no. You know.
Well, that just sad realization that I thought I was going to be special and I'm not. Yeah.
I thought the sadder part was when the like big blue haired one came down and was like, you'd be a good Joe. And I was like, oh no, Joe's her like programmed name to call him. Fuck. Oh. Damn it.
Yeah.
That sucks. That felt sadder to me.
There was a lot of sad in 2049. Yeah. I think it got a little, you know, the original and even the final cut, a lot of the attention was on the amazing cinematography. And I think 2049,
oh yeah,
sort of got into that mood of, we just need to make it look good. And it kind of lost itself in that it was just like, okay, you know, if 30 seconds of looking at this dystopian future and Harrison Ford's apartment is cool, let's do it for 5 minutes. It's like, yeah, we get it. You know, it's no longer the cool thing it was 40 years ago. So let's move on. 30.
The thing I found was kind of fun in the original Blade Runner, though, and I've noticed it in some other different sci-fi movies too. They show this futuristic society with the, you know, the different buildings, the flying cars, everything's so futuristic. But then they turn around and give you, like in the 1982 version, I was noticing almost like a 40s, 50s vibe with some of the hairstyles, the fascinator hats, the, when you see them in the bar and they've got the old fashioned cigarettes that had like the long holders. It was kind of interesting how they kind of pulled it, like going back 30 years, going forward 30 years.
Yeah.
And they've got sort of both, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
in there.
It's like we have that fascination with that period still. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it was an accurate, like, because we do still have that, you know, it's like people, you know, that's here, like, there's two, like, places that are, like, speakeasies that are, like, built in, like, old, you know, speakeasies, mm-hmm. like, little restaurants you can go into and stuff, because we're, like, fascinated with it, despite the fact that, like, half the people eating there would not have been welcome.
Exactly. Yeah, like Edward J. Elmos in 82. Like, he's like real so sharp with the fedora and the, you know.
Yeah.
I forgot how amazing the cast was in the original. Like, wow. I forgot all these people were in this. And even if they weren't like big stars then, most of them went on to be either big stars or at least very recognizable character actor.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I will say I took the wrong thing at the end of the first one when he finds the little unicorn. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh shit, he's about to kill her. I was like, why is he smiling? That's his like death card. Oh no, okay. He's saying he's gonna let her live. Okay.
I'm gonna go spend whatever time she has left.
Yeah. I thought Tyrell in the end of the first one, that was like the worst way to die in either of them, when Roy smushed his head.
Oh yeah, that was
a lot of the 1982 movie was cleaned up by the studio. I don't know if you noticed that, but there's not a lot of blood. Like, you know, he's gouging his brain out through his eyes and there was no blood. And that kind of stuff was added back into the 2007.
Well, maybe I don't want to watch the 2007.
Well, it did. He was able to put in the violence and the gore that he wanted in the original one. So those sort of things were ramped up and made more realistic than what you got in 1982.
Yeah.
Did they ever show Sebastian's in the final cut? So Sebastian's death.
His death after he kills Tyrell? Or you just, again, you hear about it on the news?
Well, you hear about it in
or on the, like, when they're, like,
original.
Yeah, you hear about it in the original, I meant, yeah.
I was just curious if they showed it, because I remember them reading something that they had, I think they had filmed it, but they didn't put it in the original.
I just don't remember, you know.
I kind of felt sorry for little
Sebastian. 9 hours straight of Blade Runner.
It's a blur now.
A very slow paced blur.
But we all really have a lot to say about Blade Runner.
Our commentary is presented to you at the same pace as the movies.
Okay, I do have something weird, and I don't know if you guys picked up on it. When you're in the original, and he's got Harrison Ford, and he's telling him that there was 6 replicants that escaped, and then he goes on to tell him that they, you know, did a raid and one was killed, mm-hmm. so that leaves 5, but he only set Decker after 4.
Yeah, I don't.
The only 4 he was actually told to kill was Leon, Roy, Zora, and Press. So I was kind of like, what happened to the fifth guy?
Did they send Goff after him?
I don't know, because they never ever said to you, like, they, because the original statement was that 6 escaped. Then in when they were one attacking a building, 1 was electrocuted. So that left 5. But when Deckard was given the names to go after, he was only given 4.
I'm just going to assume Goff went after that one. I don't remember that.
I don't know why I picked up on that. Maybe because it was going too slow. My brain, actually. Just one of those things, I guess.
Yeah. I'm supposed to notice that. Of course, now I'll have to go and look and see. But I did, however, love in 2049 that San Diego District was now the waste processing center. Little things like that were kind of humorous.
No, I enjoyed them both, but I definitely, the first one would have been, I thought was good. And I'm not sure that I don't think it needed a follow up.
Yeah, I don't think it was in any way a necessary thing. I think there really is a big fan base of people who love the Blade Runner series. And so I think that was sort of like, okay, let's give them more. We didn't quite need 3 hours more, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just an odd choice to make it so long.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. Like him walking through Vegas, I was like, okay, this is an odd choice to be so slow. Mm-hmm. When he stuck his hand in like the beehive, I was like, why? Okay.
Yeah, I was a little bit flummoxed by that.
It was just like... it was a lot. It was slow.
Yeah.
It was real slow.
If you want to pack that much story, you gotta pick up the pace a little bit.
They need they need to take a key from the strike back, right? From Jack. move it, guys. Move it.
I'd like to see Jack reinvent that movie.
It'd just be like a lot of red pins. Take out this, take out this, take out this.
There'd be more action.
Blade Runner 2054, 43 minutes long.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. Do you guys have anything else to say about Blade Runner?
There's a lot of great lines in all of the movies, you know, for there really is a lot of good dialogue when you finally get it. There's a lot of fantastic one-liners in it that you remember that sort of sum a lot of things up as you're going through it.
Yeah, I had watched the original a long time ago and never watched it again, but when I watched it this time, the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, I remembered this a little differently. And then, so I rewatched, cause I was like, I wasn't really getting into it when I watched it. So I rewatched the first one and I got a lot more out of it watching it the second time. But yeah, it was the first go through. I kind of struggled a bit with it. It was sort of like, I don't remember this the last time. I mean, it was an interesting movie and it gave you, I think there's obviously some truths to today's society mm-hmm. in there. And I think, I mean, the actress did a great job with it. It just leaves you sort of a little bit. I found like I kind of, when I finished it, I was a little bit kind of depressed in a way. Like I was just kind of like, yeah, that was it. Like,
I think you were supposed to be a little depressed at the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the same with the, with 2049, you know, so yeah, it's a fairly current movie. I mean, it was 2007, but a lot's happened since then. And there's still so many lines of dialogue that are directly applicable to even stuff that's happened this week, you know. Dying for the right cause is the most human thing we can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to talk about that. I guess go watch Blade Runner, guys.
You want to be depressed.
If you want to be depressed, go watch Blade Runner. If you want to be slightly less depressed, just watch the first one, okay? It ends on a more... maybe hopeful note, I think.
And if you haven't yeah. seen the first one, I would recommend seeing the final cut versus the original. I do think the final cut is a better movie.
Yeah.
I think the difference is, especially removing the narration and the key differences in, you know, having a more realistic look to it and adding in back in the violence.
Yeah.
You know, to clean up the violence in a movie like that is just ridiculous. It was there for a reason. And I think it's important that he was able to put that back in.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen the original, watch the final
watch
cut.
Watch the final cut, yes.
Or at least watch it first.
With the voiceover, it definitely gives a Dick Tracy detective vibes.
It just made it more flippant, and it yeah. just was not the correct tone.
It's a detective
for the
movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a studio call. That was not yeah. a director call.
Interesting.
So what did you think? Was Deckard a replicant in the first movie or not?
I don't think so.
I kind of thought he
was. A lot of people thought he was.
I was really going back and forth on it, but I kind of think that he mm-hmm. was.
What were their answers? What were Ridley Scott and Harrison Ford's answers?
He was not. He is human. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and that's very clearly established in 2049.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a whole like huge debate percentage of the Blade Runner world out there who firmly believed he was a replicant up until 2049 was made. So
interesting.
That's so funny. Well, they were kind of mirroring his memories, like Rachel's, mm-hmm. in a way. And then that winged horse, like the Pegasus the unicorn that Goff left. Yeah, it kind of was like, how'd he know about the unicorn?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, clearly, yes, he was not. He watched 2049. But
interesting. Yeah. No, it didn't feel like it at all. But maybe I'm just too dumb. I don't know. All right. Well, I guess that is Blade Runner. And,
So do you guys recommend it or not?
Yes, I recommend it, especially the first one.
I would recommend it. Yeah. Yeah, I much preferred the first one to the second. Yeah.
Agree. Even though, you know, Ryan Reynolds is.
I mean, they can use their own thing if they watch the first one and really like it. Go for it. It does. The second one has things to offer. But I just found it was a little too long and a little too slow. That was not that the story was that bad, but I think, you know, it just
could have been better.
Would have been good a little bit shorter.
Like 45 minutes or so.
Yeah. Yeah. About that. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. I loved it the first time it came out. I loved Final Cut even more. There was so much promise for 2049. I think it could have, it really could have been a great movie. But I think it got a little maybe too full of itself, and the length is just, there's no reason for that. And the fact that we all had about the same time, the reaction of, oh God, this is still 45 minutes long, you know, there's four, that we all three of us responded at the pretty much the exact same time in the movie. You know, that's a pretty clear hint that, you know, so, but please do not do a Snyder cut of 2049.
Oh God, no, it's not necessary. Not necessary. No. All right. Well, we will catch you next time, guys.
See ya.
All right. I'm not sure if they'll let me pick the next one.